Welcome back. We appreciate you being here for the second hour. You may remember during the first hour we mentioned this article in the AJC about what has been going on at the University of Georgia. Headline, out of control, reckless culture, off the mark, off the field marks UGA football team. We read you a statement from the university. We want to complete that now. And we will begin by saying UGA Athletic Association funds are never used to pay court fines or speeding tickets. The funds always come from the players themselves or their families. In certain situations where a student athlete could not appear when required, Mr. Gant has assisted in the process of paying these fines, and cash was often the only feasible method of payment, as the court will generally not accept a credit card without the cardholder being present. The October 2023 email exchange between Mr. Gant and the Athens Municipal Court made it abundantly clear that the fines would be paid just as soon as the parents send the money. The small exchange also confirms that while Coach Smart has no way of knowing about every speeding ticket, he was seeking more information to address the issue appropriately and prevent future incidents. Attempts to find ulterior motives have no factual basis. These were genuine efforts to fulfill a responsibility to our student athletes and our community. As we have said, statistically, young people are much more likely to engage in reckless driving. This is undoubtedly a larger societal issue, but we must do our part to change what we can. We have a significant obligation to teach, mentor, and when poor decisions and mistakes are made, instill accountability. Alan Judd joins us, who is a senior investigative reporter at the AJC. Alan, first of all, good afternoon. Thank you for making time.
Sure. Thanks for having me.
A lot of reaction, obviously, to what you and your colleagues have done. Before we get you to react to the reaction, I would like to go to a editor's note that was put in association with this article that briefly describes how all this came about. Not to ask you to repeat verbatim, but can you give us the genesis of your reporting and the team's reporting on this?
Sure. This really goes back to mid-January, very shortly after the car crash that took the lives of Devin Willock, who's a member of the football team, and Chandler LaCroix, recruiting analyst for the team. We began looking into some aspects of that. There wasn't a lot of information made available by the police or the university at the time. And we were getting tips from people in Athens that there was maybe more to this than first met the eye, that it was more than just a simple one-car crash. So we've been looking at this situation now for months. And we've used the state open records law to get a lot of information from the police, from the court system, from the university where we can. There's some issues there with getting that material from them, but we've gathered a lot of details and a lot of court files, police reports. We've looked at video from body cameras worn by the police officers, and a lot of incidents involving players. Hours and hours of that. So we've looked everywhere we can to kind of get a full picture of what the situation is surrounding the team.
And certainly, Alan, I'm not asking you to state opinions because you don't need to. You're a reporter, and the narrative here is clear. But the audience is certainly some of the audience are at a disadvantage of not having read your entire piece, and not to ask you to indulge us, but is there a simple way to explain the narrative and the purpose of what you and the AJC have reported here?
Yeah, what we've really found is that there seems to be a pattern of reckless and sometimes illegal behavior by players on the Georgia team that is putting both the players and the larger public at risk at times. a lot of very fast driving, racing behavior, other things driving under the influence, driving under the influence of drugs, reckless driving, on and on. And there's a great deal of this behavior going on, and there seems to be little accountability for the players once that happens. The team employs a gentleman who manages to sort of take care of all the details of their criminal case if they get caught, taking the money for the fines into the courthouse, setting court dates, working out plea deals with the prosecutor. And then we haven't seen much in the way of punishment from the team for players who have engaged in this kind of activity. Very rare do you see a player suspended off the Georgia team, and even more rarely do you see one who's dismissed from the team for this kind of behavior.
In hearing what I read earlier, and certainly you've seen the statements, and I know you've included some of them, I realize I'm asking you to speak for an organization here, but how would you react to a fairly specific and lengthy response from the university about what you have laid out in this piece?
I really read the response as saying they acknowledge there is an issue. They say this kind of behavior is unacceptable. They want to do something about it. They aren't very specific about what that would be, other than sort of a general statement about some people may receive mental health counseling, or there might be kind of a talking to from the athletic director. But in terms of actual reduction of the opportunity to participate with the team, we have not been seeing that kind of thing. And while it's true that I'm sure everybody who's ever been a young person wishes or did things they wish they hadn't done, and did things that maybe didn't show great judgment, what we're seeing here is this pattern of behavior, and which has culminated basically in the loss of two lives.
We're chatting with Alan Judd, the senior investigative reporter at the AJC. We've briefly laid out what is in the piece. You're certainly welcome to read it for yourself, and we have read the response from the university in great detail and to a high degree of specificity. Alan, finally, on this, you set a pattern. I'm assuming, and I don't think this is much of a reach to assume, that in your reporting you did attempt to speak to university officials as well as administrators and coaches. Can you describe that process and where you landed after doing so?
Yeah, well, we've attempted to speak with everybody from the president of the university to Coach Smart to the athletic director, Josh Brooks, now for months, and none of them are really other than just the occasional public statement in answering some questions in a public setting. No one has sat down and discussed the issues that are swirling around this program. The president of the university said last week that, or maybe the week before, that he trusts Coach Smart to figure all this out or to handle it. And that's about as far, as deep as they've gone with it.
And you mentioned Jerry Moorhead, you mentioned Josh Brooks and Kirby Smart. Beyond what they have issued, is that the extent of your conversations or your encounters or interludes with them?
There have been some press availabilities over time. Coach Smart addressed this car crash at the beginning of spring practice. There have been a few other comments. He was at the SEC meeting recently after there had been another string of arrests of players for reckless driving and driving under the influence, and he said something to the effect of everybody wants to know what the punishment is. Well, the players know what the punishment is, but yeah, we're still obviously still seeing the same behavior continuing. So you have to wonder at that point how effective that punishment might be.
Alan Judd, the senior investigative reporter for the AJC. Alan, thank you for dropping by. Thank you very much.
Sure. Thanks very much.
We appreciate him being here. We'll take a short break. We're back right after this.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/paul. That's hims.com/paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
And we are back here on a Monday afternoon. Let's continue with more phone calls. And Nicole is up next in Georgia. Hey, Nicole.
Hey, how are you?
We are doing great. Thank you very much.
All right. This is Nicole calling from Augusta, Georgia. Huge dog fan, first time caller.
Great.
Just wanted to get your perspective on Carson Beck for this year. He had a pretty impressive G-Day appearance. So just wanted to get your opinion.
Yeah, I'm really high on him. I think... while he will be described as a first-time starter, I think he's well way ahead of most people in that regard. He has tremendous experience, and I think he would have started a lot of other places. So I'm counting on him to have a huge year.
All right, thanks, Paul.
Thank
We're
you
excited.
Very much.
Go dogs.
You be well. Take care of yourself. Matthew is in South Carolina. Hello, Matthew.
Hey, how you doing, Paul?
Okay, everything's well. Thank you.
Yes, sir. I just wanted to get your thoughts on the SEC 18 season versus the 9, and opposed to killing off all the rivalries that we have going on.
Well, a lot of those rivalries will remain intact. I would have preferred seeing 9.
See, that was my thought. You can put a name on it, but, I mean, if you take away the extra game, it's still going to mean something to the fans.
Yeah, but
correct.
I strongly believe that this is a one-year deal. I know there have been a lot of histrionics from the peanut gallery, and it's been an easy free swing at the pinata by SEC haters. But I think for 1 year we can live with it, and then if it goes according to plan, and for the next year, which would be 25, we'll be at 9 games. I would rather wait until Wednesday night to see what they came up with before making too many overreactions, because it may be a really good schedule.
Yeah.
But the main reason that you're seeing a reshuffling is to make sure that everybody within a relatively short, I think it's a four-year period, will see everyone else. Right now in the SEC, you can go 10 years and not play a certain mm-hmm. team, and that's wrong. You really, if you're an athlete at South Carolina or Georgia or somewhere, you want to be able in your 4 to 5 year run to be able to make it to against every team, home and away.
I agree.
And some of these rivalries have been just forced. I mean, for a long time you had.
You're getting away with the third Saturday in October. I mean, like.
Well, we don't know that yet.
We don't know yet, though, and
we're not going to know until Wednesday night. There are going to be some losses, but if you're Tennessee or Alabama, I mean, right now the Alabama-Tennessee game means a lot more to Tennessee people than it does to Alabama people. And I'm not talking about the 80-year-old Alabama fan who remembers all the games at Legion Field. I'm talking about the modern-day fan has seen Alabama-LSU be a lot more important. Obviously, Alabama-Auburn. You have other rivalries that have bubbled up. And I hope the Alabama-Tennessee game remains. I mean, there's never been a year in my lifetime where that wasn't paramount. But then again, I'm from Tennessee and lived in Alabama. So, but to a lot of people, if you're a 25-year-old Alabama fan, that game didn't matter until the clock struck zero back in October. Hey, thank you for the call. Appreciate it. Let's check out Barry in Georgia. Hey, Barry.
Hey, Paul. I was calling you about this student-athlete situation that it was Chris Bellini that was talking about.
Yes.
And he hit it right on the head. You know, it's scary because I love college football, and I've always loved it. But, you know, it's getting to a point. Of course, we have the NIL that's just come up. But I'm going to give it a stretch. 10 years from now, we may not even recognize it. It's going to be, to me, so bad that these guys may get really big salaries, like, you know, if they won't be student athletes, like you said, student employees. And the thing that could happen, it may not happen, unions could possibly get involved in this if they get all these different titles. You know, it's a possibility. I hope it doesn't.
Barry, everything you said is true. It could all happen. But you adjust. I watched college football last year. I thought it was some of the most exciting games I've ever seen. And most of the athletes for the big teams were getting paid. Bryce Young was making a couple of million dollars. Never fazed me in the least when I watched him play. So I know the concerns, but everything about the sport is different than it was 10 years ago, and especially 30 or 40 years ago.
No, I don't disagree with you. You're right. It is, but I would really hate to see, though, if you start getting too much big money, how these coaches are going to be able to cope with this type of thing. It's going to be a different atmosphere for them as it is now. The recruiting will be so much.
But explain this to me. They're dealing with it right now. There are stories of players being up for bid. There's a story out there that a prominent player was looking at a couple of schools, including, I think, two in the SEC. He chose not to go here. But we're talking about seven figures here. I can assure you, Nick Saban knows better than to spend that kind of money on a player and then think he's going to be able to manage him. But you just have to make choices, and I think that's where we are. There's a lot about the world today that I don't like, but you have to adjust to it. I've seen, just in my own career, which is long, I've seen many different iterations. But we just got through talking to a so-called newspaper reporter, but he doesn't really, I don't even know if that newspaper even comes out. It's a digital product. It's not the same thing. There was a time in the 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s when the AJC hit your porch at 5:30 in the morning. It was a big deal. I used to read that paper every day. I cannot remember. I mean, I read the article today only because it was a necessity, but that's not something that you go to anymore. What part of our world is the same as it used to be? That's why I'm not as concerned. I think we'll adjust. AC, who does take some adjusting just with every afternoon when he calls in.
Mr. Feinbaum, thank you so much for taking my call, sir.
Thank you.
Absolutely. There's always adjustment for AC. There's always adjustment for you. You know, I want to talk about two things. First of all, you had a back-to-back callers asking you how you doing. You already answered. Probably you should have said to the second caller, you know, I'm feeling bad because on the screen I see AC. Now I'm about to have a headache. That could have been your answer. You know what I'm saying, my man? What is going on with Team Brando? I was just reading the article not too long ago, attacking you, and you're scared of Greg. Did I get this right? You are. That's what he said. You are scared of Greg Sankey? That's what he just said?
You know, I responded to that drivel the other day, and I'm not sure I have anything more to add.
You don't have to add anything. What's up with all this? I mean, didn't Team Brando used to call the games in SEC? Of course he did, with someone else that I do not remember. So I guess he was also scared of whoever that commissioner was, probably Greg Sankey, because that's ridiculous. Why would you be scared of Greg Sankey, Mr. Feinbaum? It makes no sense. You can educate me. I don't think Greg Sankey is writing your paycheck. As far as I know, ESPN is doing it. It's all total baloney, BS. Team Brando, this guy is jealous of you. This guy is jealous of AC. I know what's going to happen. Jim is going to call in. Jeff is going to call in. They're going to attack you. Well, guess what? Hang up on this loser. You want to hear Team Brando. Who is Team Brando? That's yesterday's news. Who is Mr. Feinbaum? It's today and tomorrow's news. Jim, Jeff, Paula.
On that happy note, we'll take a break. More of your phone calls right after this.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
And we are back here on a Monday afternoon. Let's continue with more of your phone calls. Bill is in Colorado Springs. Good afternoon.
Hi, Paul. How are you doing today? Hope you're doing well.
Thank you very much.
Hey, question for you. Last week you had mentioned to a caller that, in your opinion, the NCAA chose not to take any action on NIL or the transfer portal. Primarily because of concerns with lawsuits. You're probably right. Otherwise, I can't understand why, when they exist for that specific person of regulating or that specific reason for regulating collegiate athletics, they would have passed on it. And now we've hit the low point of turning to politicians to help us regulate this thing. Doesn't this pull the rug out from under the NCAA and validate them and cause some to think you're a joke?
Bill, I don't think I could have said it better myself. They are a joke. And they hired their new leader for one reason, to be a lobbyist. He has connections to Washington, so his job is to try to make this work. And when he fails at that, he will probably realize what a mistake he made taking the job. But the real mistake was made years ago. You had a recalcitrant NCAA president and Mark Emmert, who kept fighting the concept of athletes making money. He missed the moment badly. The college commissioners of the Power Five essentially took the power away from him. Remember, and I think most people watching and listening know this, the NCAA has not controlled college football for 40 years. They lost that in court, in the Supreme Court. What they do control is everything else, and they have an influence on college football from regulations and postseason games, but they're not part of the CFP. So they probably about 7 years ago, the moment passed, and then they just kept Then they started getting hammered in court with the O'Bannon ruling and the Alston ruling, and they just said, we're just going to leave it. And I don't know, this whole idea of, Saban was part of it, Tommy Tuberville, about a year or two ago, everybody started complaining, and they figured the only way to do it would be to go to Congress. And they all went to Congress last week, and have you seen anything happen?
Well, there were photos, the photo ops. I mean, everybody getting the pictures with everyone, look what we're doing. But in the end, I don't put much faith in it. I wish we could go back to the old days. I'm 58 years old. I realize that's not going to happen. I knew that 2-3 years ago. And yet, I sit here and I wonder, why didn't the NCAA do more? And they're a joke. The whole thing's a joke now. And I can't see how they can
Bill, the NCAA at a moment in time where it can react. We saw what happened in the aftermath of Paterno and Jerry Sandusky, that Mark Emmert led this group, and they came in and they sanctioned Penn State. Now, I don't want anyone to misunderstand. You can't talk about Penn State and Sandusky without making sure people understand. We all agree how heinous it was. That is indisputable. What's also insane is the fact the NCAA decided to take punitive action against Penn State, even though they broke no NCAA rules. They just made it up. That was a period of time when, had they been spending on this, anticipating the future and not reacting to it, we would most likely not be where we are today. Hey, thank you very much. Great call. And I am 100% in favor of everyone going and talking to Congress. I think it's important on an important issue to share knowledge and to allow a Nick Saban or a Kirby Smart or someone like that to sit with people of influence. But the issue is, we are in such polarizing times. When you just look at what is happening on the news channel today and what's going to be going on tomorrow and how that compounds everything else, the idea that something like this happening is very slim, in spite of well-intentioned people. Thank you for the call. Appreciate it. Ronnie is in Florida. You're on the air. Hello, Ronnie.
Hi. I was just wanted to ask Mr. Fonbottom what he thought about FSU's football's chances next year. Leonard Hamilton, the basketball coach, had been to our house several times, and my whole family went to FSU. My brother, two sisters, my brother, my sister, my wife has a doctor from there, blah, 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 on and on. I went to graduate school. But what do you think about the chances of the football team next year?
Well, first of all, I've known Leonard since he was at Kentucky, and he's an outstanding coach. I think they're good. I don't know if Florida State is a playoff team, but I think they're good enough to contend. I see two losses for them, which, by the way, isn't terrible, but it's not a great schedule. LSU is a slight favorite over them. I think LSU will win that game. You have some the game at Clemson is I think Clemson is going to be very, very good. You have game. I think 10-2 is realistic. I do not believe they can get past Clemson, which I think ultimately is going to be their undoing.
Yeah, of course, Bobby Bowden is the one who put FSU on the map.
Bobby Bowden is truly one of the legendary coaches of all time, and what he did at FSU, the story it's been told 1,000 times, but it should be told many more. Hey, thank you for the call. Appreciate you being on. Jay is up next in Mobile, Alabama. Hello, Jay.
What's going on, Paul?
We are doing well. Thank you for asking.
I just got a question for you. Is there any way, like, kind of on relation to what your earlier caller said, is there any way you could see, like, our conference, like, breaking into four divisions and then still play the nine game format? And then at the end of the year, we have our own playoff system. We could even break away from the NCAA. We could have our own little
Well, Jay, I think the odds of that are zero for this reason. The SEC is not only a part of, it's a big part of the CFP, and they've already agreed to a 12-team playoff beginning next year. So they're part of it. And I hear you loud and clear, but people missed the most important story Greg Sankey issued 2 weeks ago. Everybody obsessed about the eight, but they forgot that he also said there will be no divisions. So that's done. The SEC is finished with divisions. There won't be two and there won't be four. The concept on how they'll do it is still up for grabs. But the SEC championship game unequivocally will be the two highest, the two teams with the best record, and there'll be a formula that is laid out to explain that. Scott is up next in Georgia. Scott, you're on the air. Go right ahead.
Hey, Mr. Paul. How you doing, sir?
Scott, we are doing great.
Listen, brother, I just want to find out how big of a black eye is this going to be put on Georgia with their two national championships, knowing that obviously now there's been a lot of under-the-table stuff going on, and I'm eating a Little Debbie oatmeal pie as we speak because Saban has not had any type of this stuff going on since he's been winning. So what's this going to do to Kirby there, Mr. Paul?
Scott, as terrible as the last couple of months have been off the field and, you know, how much stock you want to put in this article, I think it is systemic. I don't think this is a Georgia issue. I think Nick Saban has had problems at Alabama. And every school has these problems. And I'm not here to excuse or inexcuse or make alibis, but I think this tragedy will serve, hopefully, as a clarion call that things have to change at Georgia and everywhere else. Young people don't pay attention very often to whatever their elders say, but when they see someone that they know and love die, it may be a wake-up call. I'm hoping it is. And if that is the case, then something good will have come from an absolute tragedy. But I really do resist the broad brush of some in the media and elsewhere that Kirby Smart has a culture problem. I don't think he does. He's had some issues, and I think he's tried to deal with them. Kirby Smart is not an easy mark. This isn't some coach that you can run over. He doesn't have to, because he's got the best program in the game. He doesn't have to cut corners. He doesn't have to make excuses. And I think when I saw him, I've seen him a couple of times recently, and one of the times he told me this has been one of the worst things that's happened to him in his life, and it's been very difficult to deal with. And I think he's trying to deal with it. It has certainly cast a pall over what should be the greatest, one of the great moments in the history of that school and all of the young people's lives. But I think they'll come through it. Thank you for the call. We'll take a short break. Back with more.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day. But sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
And we welcome you back. Daryl is next. Hey, Daryl.
How's that book coming along?
You may have to wait a while.
Are you going to dedicate one of the chapters and call it Back To back?
I'm pretty much decided just to make it the Kirby Smart story. How Kirby Smart took over college football.
Okay,
football.
When Kirby Smart was at Alabama, of course, his stock was not as high. I mean, it went down, okay, but right before he left. And the defense at Alabama just seemed like it wasn't as good as in the past. And that probably had a lot to do with the changing of the offense and the spread offense. I'm sure it had something to do with that. Sure. But since he's been at Georgia, no doubt on the offensive side of the ball, okay, we're more of a vertical passing team. We go for the throat when we got you down. The physicality is much better. There's been mass improvement there. But on the defensive side of the ball, in my opinion, is where he has excelled the most. Would you agree with that?
I totally agree. And I think he's mattered in two different ways, Darrell. What he's done for Georgia, he's affected Alabama. Because Alabama, under Pruitt, they were okay. Because Jeremy Pruitt is a very good defensive coach. But they have not had a – Pete Golding was a middling coach, and Kevin Steele has had a good career, but he's not Kirby Smart.
Yeah. I can tell you, when Jeremy Pruitt came to Georgia, the defense coordinator, their defense got better. It is not what it is now, but it did get better, but it was pretty bad at that point. But and I'll tell you one more thing, Kirby is probably the best at, probably better than Nick Saban, okay? And that is a motivator. And I think that's what Saban knows that he lost. There's nobody that can give a locker room speech. He might burn your ears, but those players get it. But there's nobody, in my opinion, that can give a locker room speech like Kirby Smart.
I've said it more times than I need to for those who've been around, but I heard him do it once in the locker room, and I joked with him about it. It was at the scrimmage in the spring, and I've never heard anything like it before. I cannot imagine what it's like before a national championship game.
Absolutely. He'll burn your ears. Don't give me – not just that. I tell you what, ESPN did a thing that's great. It's out on YouTube. It's four episodes. They're only about 10 minutes long inside the college football playoff. Get a chance. Go out there and watch all four of them. It's okay. All Georgia, but it's a lot of Kirby Smart practicing and just how he practices, you know, how he runs his practices, how he coaches them guys
up.
I'm
glad you said that because
he's hard on them. But,
Nick Saban is still –
Paul, we're going back to back to back. You do know that, right? That's
going
to happen.
I don't know that, but now that you've called, I feel better about it.
Well, I thought last year would be the rebuilding year, okay? And I said this year would be the year we win another national championship. This year we're going back to back to back, Alabama. See you, Paul.
Okay, yeah. We haven't had Darrell in a while. Felt good, didn't it?
Yeah.
And remember, you know, a lot of young people don't remember this. There was a time when if you had a Democrat on TV, you had to follow it with a Republican. We just had the Democrat. Let's get the Republican on here. Larry is up next.
My dial's back. Oh, my goodness. He couldn't stand it.
Now, Larry, I just want you to be prepared if that happens, what it means.
Yeah, you know, I want to tell you, update you too. Todd's in it, going to have a bypass, man, okay. But he's in it. But now I want to get back. Look, he said that Georgia's defense is accelerated. They gave up 20 points to a no-name team, man. Come on, Dale. Get real. I mean, Jesus, you know,
Larry,
they ain't playing nobody.
Projected,
they're not playing
ESPN,
anybody.
ESPN, everyone has projected Georgia's defense to be the best in the country next year.
Missouri almost beat their ass. They didn't play nobody. Bama would have played them in 21 and it kicked their ass. I'm telling you.
Larry, hold on a second. Larry, hold on. Let me say one thing. You were a policeman, right? You were, you know, you ever – Yeah, you get into a scuffle with a guy with one of your, you're trying to arrest somebody, and you have to use a little force. Remember those days?
Oh yeah, I like.
I mean, you know what you sound like, Larry? You sound like the guy on the ground that you've billy clubbed and knocked his teeth out, and he said, "Well, if you didn't have a billy club, I'd have kicked your ass."
Yeah, but I'd already whooped his ass 8 or 9 times. Pretty good. So, yeah, I'm back for more, Paul. Now I'm up off the ground. Now my ass is back for some more.
Larry,
come on,
Larry, Darrell just put you on the ground.
He ain't put nothing nowhere. He come back with some yabba dabba do. Ask him about that running back.
You are on the ground right now, searching for your manhood, Larry.
Recruiting. Oh, we've been whooping Georgia's ass.
You're trying to say, what happened to those things?
We've been whipping Georgia's ass recruiting, Feinbaum.
Larry, I don't know about that one.
You Georgia.
I don't know what show you listen to in Alabama, but you need to find a new one.
No, I'm fine, just like I are. You take that to the bank. You remind me of the guy I was in Lowe's. I was using the bathroom. He's next to me. He goes over and washes his hands, and I start out the door. He says, "You gonna wash your hands?" I said, "I didn't pee on my hands." That's what you remind me of. Roll Tide.
Well, I'm glad you didn't, Larry, but there'll come a day when you will, as soon as Georgia beats you again. We're going to wash our hands and more of Larry. We're coming right back.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.